Hey, this is W2TTT for the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net. Are there any stations with emergency or priority traffic? Please call K2BAR. Okay, that's, as I always say, the right answer to that question. Alrighty, this is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net, open to all radio amateurs. It's a different kind of net. It's a conversation. It's a conversation about amateur radio, electronics, computers, telecommunications, the underlying scientific principles that we that enable us to enjoy our amateur radio. We also talk about how we operate, with whom or for whom we operate, things that have gone well, things that have gone not so well, things we aspire to do that we have not had a chance to do. So pretty much anything's open as long as you can tie it back to something roughly related to one of those topics. So, with that in mind, we also check in a little differently. We ask all stations to check in, even if you are just listening, because we can kind of steer the conversation more to your liking if we know who's out there. I do have one small request, and that is that at 9:25, we're going to need to transfer net control to somebody else, as my son has a 9:30 hockey game that I would really like to get to see. So we'll get through some of the initial questions and, of course, all the announcements, and we'll get from there probably all before 9:25, and we'll see what how the questions all rock and roll. So when we check into the net, we check in with our call sign, our name, and we give an indication whether we have a question, a comment, a for sale or swap item, some combination of those things, or the ever popular, none of the above. So, with no further ado, let's do this by call finger. Something better. Are there any stations on Echo Link? Please call K2BAR.
K2BAR, N2DXT, Sean in Ridgewood, New Jersey. And we'll be listening this evening. Thank you very much. Back to net.
Hey, Sean, I'm trying to figure out why you're in Ridgewood on Echo Link, but all cool by me. And she said, PX, welcome aboard. Haven't heard you in a while. Are there any other stations on Echo Link? Please call K2BAR.
Enter XGN, Wesley Mustard. I'll be listening to the net.
Welcome aboard. Very good, and super. Are there any other stations on Echo Link? Alrighty, let's go to the Alpha stations. Any call signs begin with the letter A.
I have no experience, but I'll give it a try.
Yeah, no experience needed other than have a list. So far we have WI2LYP Bill with a question. We have you with a comment, and we have W2JEK with a comment. Did I miss anybody? Let's start there.
K2VAR, this is W2LCN with a question.
Okay, Rick, you're going to be the second question. Very good. Welcome aboard. Any other whiskeys?
This is WI2W Steve with a question.
Okay, Steve, you'll be the third question. WI2W, welcome aboard. Any other whiskeys?
W2APP, Paul Heinken Park, none of the above.
Welcome aboard, Paul. Any other whiskeys?
W2TKE, Frank, just listening.
Evening, Frank. Any other whiskeys? Okay, we're going to break the kilos up into two groups. The kilo twos first.
Kilo two, EIR. Howie, good evening. No comments, no questions.
Shock of shock. Thank you for the printer, Howie. It was justly delivered to our church Boy Scout troop room just this evening. Thank you very much. Any other kilo twos?
Kilo twos, Zulu Oscar. No questions, no comments at this time.
No comment. Hey, Jim, K2ZO, I got you. Who is the station who just lost?
K2ZC, Dave. No questions or comments.
Good hearing you as well, Dave. Haven't heard you in a bit. Any other kilos? Kilo twos.
K2AMI, Tony, with a comment.
Okay, Tony, I got your comment. Welcome aboard. K2AMI, got you squared away. Any other kilo twos? All right, let's go to all kilos. Wow, that's amazing. Anybody late check in, any call sign, any type? All right, well, let's get to the matter at hand. Don, W2JEK, your comments, sir, K2BAR.
K2BAR in the net, good evening, everybody. W2JEK here, announcing that the Barra Club will be running their next VE test session on Friday, November 15th at 7 p.m. at the Westwood Regional High School. If anybody has any questions, please direct them via net control. Back to net, W2JEK.
Okay, Don, very good. Are there any other stations with comments or questions about the test sessions or licensing in general for Don? Please call K2BAR. Alrighty. Don, you want to add any extra points to that?
Nothing really. It's just bringing, anybody comes to the test session, need to pay $15 for a fee. Need identification like a passport or a driver's license with a photo on it or something else for ID. And if you have a license, you should bring your original license, the current license that you have, and a photocopy of it. And you may bring a calculator, but memory has to be clear. Other devices such as cell phones, iPods, etc. may not be used as calculators. And if anyone has had a license that is a pre-March 21st, 1987 technician license, and they are currently a technician now or don't even have a license, they can be grandfathered into a general class if anybody has such a situation. We have a fellow at the recent test session that did just that. He had an expired license. It was a tech license from that era. They came in and he took a technician license, passed that. We grandfathered him in because of the expired technician license from back in the 80s there, and then he took the extra and passed that. So something like that might apply to somebody or somebody you know, so keep that in mind. Back to that, W2JEK.
And Don's point about
should we say, legacy technicians and above being able to qualify as a general. I can assure you that that's true. Is N2FWI, who's sitting right next to me, smiling. You are smiling, right? No, she's not smiling. I thought she was smiling. She was smiling before. Anyway, she, what do you call it? She is one of those legacy upgrades herself. Alrighty, anything else, Mr. Don?
That's all for now. Thanks. Back to net, W2JK.
Hey, very good. Tony, K2AMI, I'm going to go to you and then Randy. So let's get you for next, K2AMI, K2BAR.
I actually have two comments. One, in reference to what Randy talked about a few meetings back about his Astron 35 ampere DC supply. I came across a problem with mine, and I'm just suggesting this, that if it ever occurs, you might check this out, and that I was not getting any meter readings on my amp meter on my RM, that is 35 RM Astron supply. That's a meter for amps and volts. And the problem was there's a little calibrating variable resistor, almost something like a printed circuit size variable resistor, very cheap looking one, and it apparently opened up, and of course the ammeter did not read. Replacing is a 2,000 ohm variable resistor in that connects directly to the meter, and it connected at the meter terminals. Actually, it was a problem, and I solved that easily. And the second comment is that this coming Sunday is the Barra Fox Hunt. The Barra Fox Hunt is something we do twice a year, and it starts at the Westwood Junior Senior High School at the parking lot. And be aware there may be a busy parking lot, so look for our group in one corner or one of the other parking lots if necessary. And it'll go from about, in mass around 12 to 12:30, team up and take off around 1 o'clock looking for the fox. And it runs for about 2 hours, most 3 o'clock or over, and then we look for a pizza joint. So it's a lot of fun. Equipment, you don't need very much or very expensive ones. You can do it with almost nothing. Things like a paper clip, a body shield yourself, and a walkie-talkie is all you really need. So join us at the Fox Hunt. Back to that.
Okay, very good. And it's the pizza afterwards and the fraternity sociability that's lovely afterwards. So I speak very highly of that. I will not be able to get there. I will be at a wedding, and not to mention I'll be coming back from a scout weekend and going immediately to a, a wedding. But anyway, my wife is taking care of that little bit of annoyance. So anyway, I'm looking forward to it. Anybody have any follow-ups on Fox hunting for Tony? Tony, back to you for any ribbons.
No further ribbons, but again, not only do you need a walkie-talkie, but you need a car. The fox will be someplace in local Bergen County.
Okay. Very good. Very, very good. Alrighty, let's see. Our next comment is from Randy. Whiskey Uniform 2 Sierra, K2BAR. Over to you, sir.
Okay, thanks, Gordon. Yes, I'm just following up on last week's conversation. Some of you may remember that I'm building a dummy load for a DC power supply, and the whole point of doing so is to be able to measure the output of the supply, both the DC as well as any AC ripple on the thing, under various load conditions. And let me drop in a minute. So this is not a kit. This is a built from a construction article in the October 2006 edition of QST, and the article is by Paul Fellis Alpha Delta 5 X-ray, and it's really kind of interesting. The comment I wanted to make about this, and I've almost got it together. I'd hope to have it completed by the time the net started this evening, but I'm probably about 20 minutes to a half hour from actually completing it and getting ready to test it out. What I've relearned is that building stuff from scratch, from a bunch of parts that you order and boxes into which you have to lay out and drill your own holes, is enormously different from building from a kit. And I've forgotten how much fun this is, the challenge of being able to lay stuff out and fit all the parts in and drill the holes in the right spot and kind of think everything through. So I'd highly recommend the exercise to anyone that hasn't done so in a while and find some pleasure in building kits or building things from scratch. Start out with something simple and give it a try. And if you mess the first one up, no big deal. You've learned something, build the second one. It'll always come out better. This is Whiskey Uniform 2 Sierra back to K2BAR.
Yeah, you know, I can second that emotion and notion about building from scratch. I've built a couple of different things in the last couple of years that, you know, were based on, shall we say, I'll call them blank pallets. You know, basically a case made with a panel or, you know, just some surplus cases. And, you know, how can I use this for this and that? So it's kind of neat. So I totally get where your head's at with that, Randy. I did not get a chance to send out the notes from last week's net. I apologize. I still have them partially in play, and I have to just complete them. And it's going to be after this weekend before I do. Probably have portions of this evening's net topics in there too. I do want to point out, though, that the ComTech group has a lot of people who are a lot more isolated and less energetic than we are, who wish to become more energetic on things that we're interested in, not just the mesh networking, all sorts of things. So I encourage you guys to kind of put your ramblings and notions and observations and your successes and failures all up on the ComTech group, Yahoo groups. So the group name is called ComTech Group. So, you know, to consider that. Anybody have anything to add to the rather provocative topic that Randy raised of rolling your own, as it were?
This is K2ZO.
Go ahead.
Randy, is this this one is just the resistors, is that it? There's no transistor involved in this thing?
Yes, that's correct. It's nothing more than a bank of, in effect, four resistors that you can switch in or out so you can draw different currents from the power supply gym.
Okay, alrighty. I've got somewhere around, I gotta go look for it, a big mother of a resistor, which is a low row, resistance that would work that. But I have seen another version of this type of thing that uses a couple of 3055 transistors, a big heat sink, and you actually roll your own resistance. Pretty neat. But you do need a fan.
I can sure imagine that. Well, I've got two little 40-millimeter fans that'll be mounted to the side of the case, and then on the opposite side, some holes punched, so it'll draw a lot of air across those resistors as they heat up. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Anything like this is going to need a lot of airflow through it.
And from what I can gather, this thing is really designed for a 12-volt supply. Is that right?
Yep, that's exactly right. That's what it's for. And the helpful thing there to do, too, is to just run a heavy gauge, like a 12 gauge or so zip cord out the back end of this thing with some Anderson power poles on it, and you're ready to go.
You know, I could have used some this week when I was testing the battery in my car, which died. It didn't really die, but it lost a lot of its cranking capability. Perhaps because I left my 55 amp power supply connected across it.
For how long?
A day.
A day longer than you needed to?
Okay, here's what happened. I was at my daughter's house, and when I went out to go home, my battery was dead. And lo and behold, I found out that my alternator had failed on the trip down there. It didn't take long to suck the battery down, you know, with your lights on all the time. So the only thing I had left over from portable day in the back of the vehicle, I had a 55-amp power supply. Got together with my son-in-law, we got a couple pieces of wire, and I said, well, I'll hook this thing up, and I'll charge the battery, and that way I'll be able to get home without the alternator working, because I only had, 10 miles to go, and it would probably work. I fell asleep, and never went back outside. I was going to run it, for an hour or so. So anyway, I cooked that battery good for about 12 hours, so I think I heard it. But anyway, I bought a new alternator, and I also bought a new battery. Back to that, K2Z up.
Ah, now I understand how you cooked it.
It was a little hot to the touch that morning.
Was it really hot to the touch? Oh, my.
Yes, it was, which kind of, and of course, it's a sealed battery, and I think I boiled the juice out of it.
Well, you can pop the caps on the sealed batteries. They just don't go well back together. You might have to use something to kind of put them back.
It's not completely gone, but I think I did lose a lot of cranking capability because I've got it sitting here, and it actually will put out about a good 10 amps or so. So maybe I'll just use it here as a little backup in the shack.
Whatever it takes to get a battery for the shack, huh?
Yep.
Okay. Randy, you want to take charge of this order? Continue this topic. This is good.
Okay. This is Randy acting as net control. And, Jim, any further comments on the power supply or the battery?
Oh, I'll see if I can find that other circuit. It was a very interesting circuit. And it, as I say, what it did is it used a couple 3055s, which are pretty cheap, and allowed you to by adjusting the voltage with a pot on the base, basically dial up any load you wanted from like 0 to 25 amps, which I thought was a pretty neat idea. And I don't know, I'll do a little search on the internet and see if I can find that. Back in that.
That's great, yeah. I hope you can find it. I'd certainly like to see it. The way this 85X load that I'm building is, as I said, it's got really a bank of four fixed resistors, and so you can, on a 12-volt or 13.8-volt power supply, you have four switches, and you can cut the resistors in and out of circuit in combinations, so you can draw 3 amps, 7, 10, 14, 17, 21, and 24. So it gives you quite a nice range and, some modest granularity, but it's obviously it's not continuously variable. So it looks like a pretty good approach and a good range of loads to test the power supply or to test the battery. Anything further, Jim?
Pull you two, TTD.
Go ahead.
segue out of here because I got to run inside and see this game. But one of the thoughts was that I'm going to be showing off that Raspberry Pi that I set up in that Masonite, that almost Formica-like case. I'm also going to show off a couple of the mesh nodes this weekend, HF radio and SDR. I'm probably not going to drag the 5000 out. I'm going to probably drag my IC7000 with a tuner and on a separate antenna. I'll have a Flex 1500. Do that dead bug style, as it were, along with the kind of a kit motherboard and things like that. And do those kinds of things this weekend. I think that would be a useful thing for Jamboree on the air, because I'm going to have several hundred scouts floating in and out through the weekend. And I encourage you guys, 2000 local on Friday to 2000 local on Sunday. Jamboree on the air is this weekend, as well as the New York State QSO party. I love when they coincide. It's great. And enjoy them both. And Jim, thank you for sending out that notice about the NYQP. It's always fun. That's only 2 p.m. to 10 p.m. on Saturday, which is kind of compact and nice, too. Try to work every county in New York. Good luck with that in some of those counties, especially northern the Adirondacks. Oh, my Lord. All right, 7-3 all, and Randy back to net, and thank you for taking it over. W2S, W2TT, I'll see you, by the way, with the kit package a week from tomorrow, W2TTT.
Okay, thanks, Gordon, and good luck, and have a lot of fun with the Jamboree on the air. I'm glad you mentioned that to the net. Maybe some of the other folks on the net are participating in that. Any comments or from the net on Gordon's notes about Jamboree on the air or kit building? Okay, then we'll proceed. We've been through all the comments. I think the first up with a question was Bill, and I'm not sure, Bill, if I've got your call sign correct. Is it W1LYP? Bill, you had a question.
Hi, Randy. WI2LYP, K2BAR in the group. A question came up during the week. It was brought up by Ted, W2PNE, on the Anytone radio, the 2-meter 440 radio, and I have one, too. And it was kind of puzzling. It has two squelch settings on it. One of them is menu 23, which is like a standard squelch setting. When you hit the menu, you can select from off to 20 to set up a squelch as you would with a rotary squelch. Then further back, there's an RF squelch on a totally different menu, and that goes, 5 through, it's 0 off through 5, I think it is, and it explains about squelching with the bars on the receive side. Ted wasn't sure what that was, and neither was I. I listened intently to the conversation. I thought I would throw it out to the group to see if anybody has any experience with this or how you would set up the two of them. WI2LYP.
Okay, thanks, Bill. That's kind of an interesting question. I certainly don't have a clue. Anybody else on the net help Bill with the question about the two different squelch sessions, settings rather, on the Anytone radio?
K2EIR.
Ed Howie.
Roger. Okay, I don't have an Anytone. I have a TM, what is it now? TM7 by Kenwood, the older one, is similar to the B71 they advertise these days. It also has an option for, on one of the menus, to use an RF squelch. My take on this, without having read exactly, is that there must be And because there is an S meter, there must be an AGC, an automatic gain control line in the receiver. And so that's what the RF squelch is, as opposed to a noise-operated squelch or a tone-operated squelch. And it just gives you some other options. In general, I've found on VHF and UHF FM, the noise squelch is a better way of going, and it's the conventional way of going. But that's all I think it is. I spoke with Ted, and he also mentioned finding a right and left for the squelch. And again, what I think that is there are two receivers in most of these rigs, and you can put, say, VHF on the left and UHF on the right, and since it's substituting, these are menu options, substituting for knobs, it's as if you had a left knob and a right knob, which is what I have on my rig. It's just the setting for each receiver. That's what I think. That's my hypothesis. I can't be absolutely sure. K2EIR.
Hey, thanks, Howie. This is Whiskey Uniform 2 Sierra. Over to Bill. Any comments on Howie's description?
Howie was in on a conversation the other day with Ted. I understand that. I think I do anyway. I'm just wondering, is one better than the other, and why would you set up like an RF squelch if you could just set up your regular squelch and, you know, squelch the noise out of it? By the way, I'm a new ham. I just have a vanity call sign, so I've been involved in communications for a lot of years, but not to this degree. So I'm just a little puzzled by it. I just left that RF squelch in the off position, and it hasn't had any effect on anything. Sometimes if the radio gets a little noisy, we're getting a splash from another repeater, I just up the regular squelch a little bit. So I'm just wondering if anybody has a thought which would be better, and if the RF squelch is necessary to do anything or just leave it off.
Yeah, I can answer that again, too, K2EIR. The noise squelch is the most sensitive, so even things that might not move the S meter could be taken care of with the noise squelch, the regular squelch. But because of the way FM works with the limiter and saturating the limiter, very quickly, as soon as you get quieting, the noise squelch can't differentiate between signals of different strengths. So if you have strong signals and you don't want to hear signals below a certain level, for example, you're listening to this repeater and there is tropospheric opening and you're hearing other repeaters in other areas, but they're only S1 or S2 and this thing is full scale. Using the RF squelch would allow you to put a setting, say, of 3 bars out of, say, 7 before it opens. K2EIR.
Thanks again, Howie. Bill, does that help?
WI2LYP. Yeah, it makes more sense. I'll have to play around with that and try it. And as far as the left and the right, Howie, you're correct. It's like you have two radios. The controls are duplicated on the left side and the right side. You can set up the channels with different power levels, different squelch levels, and so forth. And it could be, it could be 2 meters on both sides. It could be 2 meters 440, and it sets up equally on both sides. But it makes a lot more sense now, and I think I may have to try that, because on the 790 repeater, I keep getting this. The station from Pennsylvania just comes booming in right over the top.
Hello, Charlie 2, Whiskey Romeo Charlie.
Whiskey Romeo Charlie, go ahead.
Yeah, I hope I'm not interrupting here, but I've been listening to the questions about the squelch. And I have a Yaesu, I'm not on that right now, I'm on a Kenwood right now, but I have a Yaesu that also has a separate squelch control on the front panel. And in the menu, it has a setting for RF squelch. And I will tell you how I use mine. I set the RF squelch in the radio for a 1.
and then I adjust the external squelch, the knob. There's a busy light that comes on my radio. I don't know how the Anytone is set up. But if I turn my squelch all the way off with the RF squelch in the menu turned on, I will get a busy light, which means there's noise there, and I'm just not hearing it. So what I do is I adjust my external squelch just barely to where the busy light goes off. And what that does for me, that tells me if there's somebody out there that's under my squelch. And if there is somebody there that's under my squelch and I want to hear them, then I go in and I shut the RF squelch off.
Okay, another look at this and some more useful insight. Bill, back to you.
WI2LYP, excellent. That's a good thought. Like I said, I'm new to this, so I didn't want to play around with the controls too much and get myself too far into the woods and not be able to back out. But that's something I may try. I may make that adjustment and bring it up to one bar or two bars or whatever. And the Anytone also has the little busy thing that shows up when there's some noise on there. So we'll take a look at that. But thanks for the input. It clears it up quite a bit.
You're welcome, and I hope that does help. But that's the way I use mine. So if there's somebody there that's not breaking my squelch, I will get a busy light, and it will tell me there's somebody out there that's under my squelch, and then I can adjust to hear him in the menu. I can shut my RF squelch off and just use the external squelch. Anyway, thanks for letting me in there. Again, I hope I was some help. This is Walt, Whiskey Alpha Lima Tango. I'm up here in Orange County, New York, between Newburgh and Middletown. KC2W...
Thanks for checking in, Walt. Appreciate it. This is Whiskey Uniform 2 Sierra operating the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net. Are there any more comments related to Bill's question about using squelch? Okay, no more. Well, again, it sounds like Bill got some useful answers. I'm glad to hear that, and thanks for everybody for participating. Next on the list is Rick, W2LCN. I believe you had a question, Rick.
N2OEL disconnected. N2OEL disconnected. W2TTT disconnected. N2OEL disconnected.
It's to identify. There was a lot of debate going around the school about whether we had play a virtual machine to actually play this Linux image, and I wonder if anyone had any experience working with a VMware player or anything that operates a virtual machine, so you can run your Windows but be looking at a Linux operating system within that window. This is W2ILCN. I'll send it back over to the net.
Okay. Rick, W2LCN, this is Whiskey Uniform 2 Sierra, Net Control. I think a lot of your comment got clobbered, but I think you're looking for either help or advice on operating a virtual machine like VirtualBox or something else on a Windows machine to run a Linux image. Is that correct, Rick?
That is absolutely correct. We've got an image of Linux that needs to run, and there's debate over do we need to install Linux, and from what I can see, we simply run this player, and we can view these Linux images. So yes, that is correct, Randy.
Okay, well, there may be other comments on that, but I do have some direct experience doing that kind of thing, and it's... fairly simple. There are two free virtual machine players. One is VirtualBox that I mentioned. The other is by VMware Workstation, I believe it is. At any rate, what happens is you set up a virtual machine, and then as you set it up, you decide what operating system you want to operate in that or use in that in that virtual environment. So it's what you're doing is you're in effect installing a whole new machine on what appears to be inside the computer, what appears to be a brand new piece of bare iron, if you will, and you go through the installation process as you would with any other operating system. So if I was using VirtualBox, I'd fire it up. I would have a disk image of a Linux operating system, very possibly burned out as an ISO image on a CD-ROM or resident on a disk file, and I'd point to that and say, go fire this up and install it and go through the regular procedures. And once it gets loaded, then it would operate normally as if I put it on a brand new box. Back to Rick.
Thank you. That is fantastic. I hope I'm making the repeater a little bit better right now, but that's fantastic. That's exactly what I wanted to hear. That'll clear up a lot of questions. And it is VMware player that we're working with, and I believe it is the desktop version. But so we can run this on any machine, is that correct? We can do a standard PC machine, put the VMware player on it, and then have our image and run it as if we're running a separate computer?
Yes, that's correct. The only thing that gets a little tricky sometimes is actually getting that virtual machine to talk to the outside world, but in the basic configurations, it shouldn't be a problem. Is there anybody else on the net that has any comments about virtual machines? Okay, nothing heard, so back to you, Rick.
Looking for, so once again, you guys have been a terrific help. Thank you very much. I will send it back to net. This is W2LPN.
Okay. Thanks for raising the question, Rick, and if you have any questions or run into any technical problems, if you would just email me, whiskeyuniform2sierra, I'd be happy to operate as technical support for you. So thanks for raising the question. Next on the list is Steve, Whiskey India 2 Whiskey. I believe you had a question, Steve.
Okay, thanks, Randy. I had a question, and while we were sitting here listening to the net, I found the answer to it. I was over at Tony's house today. We were playing around with some hooking up PSK31 on his Icon 756 Pro 3, and I noticed that when we were transmitting on PSK, the microphone was still live. So we were transmitting voice in the digital subband, which probably wasn't a very good thing. So to solve the problem in the short term, we just unplugged the microphone, and that problem went away. So I was curious as to how you mute the microphone in the digital modes. And it's really, really simple. You just press the mode button on the front of the radio, the single sideband button, and hold it in, and it switches from, for example, upper sideband to upper sideband dash D, which is digital. And when you're in the digital modes, you're sending the information in and out the data jack in the back of the computer, so it mutes the microphone when you do that, when you put it in digital mode. I didn't know that. I'm not familiar with that radio. I've never owned one or had a play with them for anything other than simple stuff, so I found that out, and I know Tony's listening, or at least he was, so there's the answer to that one, and thanks, WU2SWI2W.
Okay, thanks, Steve. Well, always great to learn something new. And what was the make and model of that radio again, in case somebody on the net has a similar situation?
It's an Icom 756 Pro 3. And I opened the manual up and just started, so I did a couple of searches in the electronic version of the manual and found it. So it's a, and Icom 756 Pro 3.
Great. Thanks very much. Any other comments from the net on the Icom 756 Pro 3 or its operating modes or operating 2APP, go ahead.
Yeah, I've got the ICOM 7000, it's got the same issue. But because it's a smaller rig, what I tend to do is, I just go through, I set up my interface that I just unplug the mic and actually go in through the front, just because I don't really, haven't got around to hard wiring. But yeah, it's a common problem across all of them.
Well, thank you, that's good to know. Anybody else? Okay, well, thank you everybody on the net. According to my list, and I might be wrong here, but according to my list, we've been through all the comments and questions that were identified at the beginning of the net. Is there anybody else on the net with a comment or a question? Okay, nothing heard. So, since there's nothing else, I guess we'll close the net for this evening. I want to thank everybody for participating. Great questions, great answers, great camaraderie, and hope to hear you on the net next week. Same time, same repeater. I'd like to thank the Chestnut Ridge Amateur Radio Club for the use of the repeater. This is Whiskey Uniform 2 Sierra acting as net control for the Era Amateur Radio Association Technical Net. We'll close the net and return the use of the repeater to its normal functioning. Thanks, everybody.
Good job, Randy. WITO, I think.
Thanks very much. As I said, no experience doing this, but I guess, like everything else, give it a try and you'll learn from your mistakes. But thanks very much. It was a lot of fun to do. Whiskey Uniform 2 Sierra.
K2AMI, WITW.
N2DXT disconnected.
K2EQZ is listening on 955.
WA2UMP listening.
TTT listening.
Who won the game?
The other team, 2-1. Devils lost 5-2. It's like really tough to watch. They have yet to win a game. They have 3 points in 7 games. But anyway, it is what it is. I don't know what to think sometimes. Anyway, so I'm running out to do a quick
the grocery store run,
not so much for the house, but for the scout trip for tomorrow. I just need a couple of things. So we pretty much have everything we're supposed to have. I gotta buy a little bit of oatmeal, a little bit of Cracker Barrel stuff, and some hot dog rolls, some peanut, and some peanut butter and jelly. Jar of peanut butter and a couple of squirt things of strawberry jam. And we're good to go. It's not very complicated.
Well, that's good. Yeah. I figured it was a little late to go make your normal pickup at 10:30.
Yeah, no, Nancy didn't work tonight, so... And I bailed out of the TechNet right at 9:30. I got Randy to continue at the net. I hope it went well. Seemed to be pretty lively as I left, so I kind of handed off at 25 after, and it was a very lively conversation with many questions following, so... I don't know, did you hear it?
Yeah, I was in from the roll call, only I was on a portable and couldn't make it, so I just listened. I heard you take off, and Randy did a good job. You know, I just couldn't get in then. I was on a portable.
Yeah, no problem. Not a problem. It's good to get different people. Randy goes, I don't know if I have much experience with this. I don't have any experience with it. Yeah, but you can answer questions. That was kind of my answer. Professor Randy would be a formidable resource to consult. He's a very, very talented guy.
Yeah, Noel should have been asking some HF antenna questions. That would have been perfect. As it was, the Anytone question came up again, the one that you were talking on the other day, that I was southbound on 287 and just listened.
Yeah, I heard that question come up from Bill. That's great. Okay. So, anyway, I have a limited amount of time. I'll be back in a few minutes, but we'll pick up on that at that time. They close the store at 30 minutes. I don't want to be a jerk and be there at 10 after 12. So I shall return. KD2TDK, W2TDT.
Yes, so by all means, do what you have to do. W2TTT, KD2TDK.
Connected, KC2YJD.
KC2YJD.
KC2YJD. Disconnected.
W2TTT.
Well, if somebody else wanted to talk, they had their chance. KD2DDK.
Yeah, well, granted, two of our meals are already part of our fee for this weekend, and plus I had some stuff left over, non-perishables, from our previous trip. Our last trip, I should say. That was our previous trip. But I managed to get out of the grocery store for $96.
Oh, man. The last time I spent $96 in the grocery store, I still had three kids eating.
Oh. Are you kidding? I could do grocery shopping for just Nancy and me for a part of a week. It's been $96 without even thinking about it. I don't mean things like toilet paper and cleaners and dishwashing detergent and laundry detergent. I mean food. But I've got a package of 50 hot dogs that are frozen and are coming
and what do you call it? And then that's for tomorrow night. So all I had to do was add cheese and Cracker Barrel type stuff. Decided not to get any additional meat for that, so it's going to be just cheese and peanut butter and jam and cookies and stuff like that. I kind of copped out that way. It worked out real well. Anyway, so you were telling me that Bill raised that question. Did anyone raise anything different in the way of a solution as to what these are about? The squelch that he's talking about, it's normally set to off or zero, whatever it is really an RF squelch, and that the squelch he actually uses is a noise gate, right, on the discriminator?
Well, when I read the instructions on the Anytone I have, that's what I, like, automatically assumed, and I don't like that word. And to be honest with you, I never played with them. And even after the discussion I heard the other day, I told myself, well, let me play with that RF one a little bit. And I didn't.
Yeah. Okay. Ted Broad raised a provocative question, and now he's got Bill raising it, and now we're all starting to wonder what it is. But unless something is not as documented or as logical from whatever documentation we have, I think that's going to be the answer. What other topics are raised?
I am trying to remember, and I am currently drawing a blank.
Okay. That's fine, too. how long did the net go to? Let's start there.
Didn't look at an ending time, but it did last a little bit while longer. There was a good go around on the Anytone, and I think there was something else. As soon as I think of it, I will mention it.
Okay. Sounded like somebody was on another radio, but not 442 in your background. Well, I am happy to report that I'm backing into my driveway. I have food to unload and stow, so I'm going to make short work of this, but thank you for keeping me company out and back, and we'll chat with you tomorrow. KD2DDK, W2TDT.
Okay, yes, get the food inside. And into my defense, I was visiting a friend, and I had the portable turned on low in the background, so I was sort of half paying attention. Anyway, that's just feedback from a scanner, I think. Rest easy. W2TTT, KD2DDK.
Oh, right bad. Loud and clear. I'm going straight to bed because it's not going to be a lot of sleep the next two nights. 7-3, KD2DDK, W2TTT.